Okay, for those who are with me, if you want to bow your heads, if you will, and say, Lord, my heart is open. My mind is open. My spirit is active. Will you now open my eyes to see the goodness that you're releasing me today through your word? Amen. Amen. So you got your Bibles. I'm going to start off with two scriptures. I'll read them for you because there'll be other scriptures you'll want to dip into. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. I'm talking about things hidden, things revealed. Things hidden, things revealed. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who were perishing. This is 1 Corinthians 1 18. For the message of the cross, the message of the cross, there's its focus, is foolishness to those who are perishing. One group of people on the earth don't value it, don't see its significance. But to us, you have to decide and I have to decide whether you're part of the us company. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. But to us, to them, it means nothing. But to us, it means everything.
Amen.
And there's this two distinct companies of people on the earth. There's to those, it's foolishness, but to them, it's the power of God unto salvation. One sees its value, its significance, its importance. The others dismiss it like it's nothing. Wow. Now I want you to hone in on that phrase, being saved. Being saved. Why didn't he just say to those who were saved? Why did it put it in its continual tense? Being saved. Because there's work to be done in you. There's a work still yet to be done inside of you. So you are being saved. You're saved. But you're being saved. Then 2 Corinthians 4:13, I'll make more comments about this as we go along. And if our gospel is veiled. In other words, if something is veiled means it's hidden or it's kept secret. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So to those who don't see its significance, they can't see what those who see and add significance and weight and value to it, they can't see what you can see. So, and if our gospel is being veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Now I want you to see, it's not just Christ, it's the gospel. This is where so many believers go wrong. It's just me and Jesus. Grow up. It's never been about just you and Jesus. He gave us a gospel. A gospel. And the gospel points us to Jesus. But you cannot just have Jesus and not have his gospel. You can't. This is where so many Christians go wrong. I'm a believer. Well, the monkeys sang a song once. Then I saw his face and now I'm a believer. You must have seen the Shrek movie. And then I saw his face. Yeah? Now I'm a believer. You see the little donkey? That's not what we're talking about. But when I did see his face, I did become a believer. Yeah? But it took light to shine into me so I could see him. Amen? And he says, they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Who is the image of God? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine into our hearts. Why? To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So seeing Jesus Christ was one thing, but then he gave you the knowledge to understand what was being shone in your direction. Amen? And then he says, but now you have this treasure inside your heart. Something from the cosmos and beyond was deposited into your hearts, and it was exposed to you or revealed to you through light, and is now carried inside your heart, and you are now called a clay vessel. And inside this clay vessel is treasure. Eternal treasure. Now, if it's eternal treasure, now the question is this. To the unbeliever, to those who were perishing, to those who were blind, this has no value. But to those who are seeing it, the question still needs to be answered. Do you see its value? Because it's one thing to be saved and say, well, okay, I'm saved. I've got the insurance policy. I'm going to heaven. That's not what it's about. Salvation is only one step. It's only one step. Now the issue is, what value do you place on it for your life? What value? Jesus came to give us a gospel. This treasure that we have inside of us has value. It has eternal value. Do you know why I know it has value? Because the devil all the time is trying to knock it out of me. The angels long to look into the affairs of men. We've got something that the eternal cosmos long to look into. Now, if the angels and Satan tries to look in, is trying to stop what's inside of you, the angels long to look into you. What is man that you're so mindful of him, the Bible says? What is this species that you are so fascinated with? Because this species is a reflection of us. Meaning the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He didn't just share himself with anyone. He chose the company he wants to keep company with. Yeah? And if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. What a frightening verse. If our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. This should waken us up. With a startling reality that every day people are going to hell. And they don't know and they cannot see what you know and what you have seen. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a day when we stand back and we're going to say, if only I would have paid more attention. I don't want my family to be on one side with me on the other side. I don't want that. Now, I can't force anyone to be saved, but you know I can do a lot of prayer and I can do a lot of talking this side of the grave. I can do all I can. But ultimately, the Bible says unless God draws a man, a woman, they cannot be saved. The Holy Spirit must be first drawn in. Amen? If you consider yourself to be a born-again believer, then not only have you received salvation, which is the forgiveness of sin, the freedom, cleansing, the inheritance, but you need to understand that your gospel is something very unique and very, very different from the Quran, from the Veda, not the Veda Dialoka, that's the Hinduism version of their holy book, or the Tipitaka, which is the Buddhist book, or the Book of Mormons, because they have that additional book they say they have. Your gospel is something that they don't have. Amen. Now, they could equally turn around and say, what they've got, you don't have. What they've got, I don't need. Amen. Do you know why? And I say that with confidence, not with arrogance. Because what I have had to be revealed from heaven. Amen. It wasn't just told to me on the earth, and I believe what somebody else said. It had to be witnessed in the Spirit. I saw that light on the day of my salvation, and there was an inner witness that came to me that says, you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. Amen. And you know, as I've walked with Jesus in my days, I have had that light constantly shining and I've had that voice constantly speaking. This inner witness inside of me keeps speaking. It's not just a one event. Salvation is not an event. It's a life. It's a life. And we must understand that this gospel is everything. It's everything. So much so that society wants to disband it, dismantle it, break away from it. It doesn't want any association with it. It wants to go its own way. Because, you know, what's the word? Relative? What's the word? Relativism. Thank you, Phil. Truth is whatever we decide it is. No, I'm sorry. It's not what you decide it is. It's what already is. He decides, not you. What right does the clay have to speak to the potter about truth? But the God of this age has blinded his eyes, so he will say that. See, mankind thinks he's God in his own image. So, it says in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved." For by, watch this, it is for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, notice the word by and through. Grace, by grace, the gospel was revealed to you. But through faith, you received it. Amen. By and through are two different meanings. So by the gospel supplied to you by grace. And then faith was given to you so that through faith you could receive it. So something's presented to you by grace. But if you don't have the through, you can't enter in. Through means it's a doorway. So it was revealed to me by grace. But then that faith was given to me by the Holy Spirit so I can't boast. So how can it be your testimony? Can't be your testimony. Your testimony is what you do with it. Your testimony is what you do with it and how it works for you and how you overcome obstacles and trials and things, difficulties. That's your testimony. This is pre-evangelism. This gives you ammunition to say, something's just happened to me. I don't know what it is, but it's changing me. But testimony is how it's working for me. How when it's applied, it's power. Amen. You see, the thing is when people get saved, and so many people get freed from all kinds of addictions, or they get healed, and they say, I've been healed, Jesus set me free, his power, and then they never taste a taste of power any other day in their life. Is that what Jesus died for? No. The gospel has power. So you should be able to taste power all through your life. Yes. That's the testimony. Let me show you how the power of God works. Yes. And when I lay hands on people, it works. Amen. That's testimony. But you need a gospel for that. Not just an experience. Amen. So the gospel, you might want to write these down. The gospel is a foreordained, pre-purposed plan. God thought about it. And God executed it. Amen. It's a foreordained, pre-purposed plan. Before you were even born, God, the Bible tells us Christ was slain before the foundation of the earth. God thought about it, or the Godhead thought about it. And in their mind, they said, it will happen. But hang on a minute, there's no earth. Nothing's been created. That's okay. We thought this is going to happen, so all this will exist. So that can come forth. And then God began to speak, brought the world into existence. Amen. Then all the pieces started to come together. Yes. Right? So that the Son of Man could come forth in the earth. Yes. It was a pre-thought out plan. Yes. He's had forever to think about it. Yes. Next, the gospel is an event in history that we recognize. We recognize BC. We recognize AD. We recognize Christ. Why? Because witnesses. Our Bible is full of witnesses. This is one thing that the Mormons couldn't get round. They couldn't get into their heads. When I'm talking to those two girls I told you about a couple of weeks ago, they just think their prophet is the only one. I said, no. The God who spoke to Noah spoke to Abraham. The God who spoke to Noah and Abraham spoke to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and to David and to Paul. They've all seen him, not just one. Why would I just believe just one person? Eyewitnesses. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have touched, that which our own hands we proclaim to you. So that our fellowship may be complete. That which we have touched. Don't you dare go on the streets and say, do you know the gospel our pastor preaches? Don't you dare say that. You should say the God, you should, let me tell you, the gospel I preach. The God I know. The God I know. Not me, you. So it's an event in history. Christ died. Christ came. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ will come back again. Christ was born. Christ died. Well, he lived. He died. He rose again. And Christ will come back again. It's an event. There's one final event left. Well, actually, there's two events left. Before he comes back, do you know what the next event is? Occupy. Stand, take dominion. Occupy until I come back. Don't be like flowers wilting. Save me again. He said, Davina, stand. Stand. The gospel is an achievement. The gospel is an achievement. Through and by those events, sin and death was overcome. Yes. It's an achievement. Wow. This gospel is an achievement. Sin was atoned for. Obedience was kept. Relationship between the Son and the Father. Walking and working together. It's an achievement. Amen. Yeah? How can this man have a relationship with God and claim that he is the Son of God? He did it. That's why they crucified him. And had they have known, they had crucified the Son of God. You can imagine all the demons in hell going, oh no, what have we done? You did it according to his divine purpose. Yeah? You were a sucker from the beginning, and you're a sucker to the end, Satan. This gospel is freely extended. It's offered to the world, to every generation. It's not received by works. It's received through faith. And faith should enable you to go and do the works of Christ. Amen. You're not saved because of your works, but you are saved to combine your faith with your works. Amen. Yeah? Everyone says amen, but what works have we got? Oh, I got to work. Well, that's part of what's one work. What happens if you don't go to work? You still got to work. Oh, it's gone very quiet in this Catholic cathedral. The gospel is freely extended. The gospel is the application of salvation. Can you put it into practice? See, most people can receive it because grace was supplied and faith was given. But can you apply it with your faith? Oi. Your profession of faith is not enough. It's your life is after. The gospel, I already said it, alluded to it. The gospel is not your testimony. Now, please understand this. The gospel is not your testimony. Why? Your testimony is your experience. That's not the gospel. Your experience is powerful, is valid. And that will fuel you to go and tell others. But that's not the gospel. It's how you were introduced to Christ. Now listen, if that's the first thing you start sharing with people. See, the woman who came to, the woman at the well who met Jesus, all she could go and tell people is, come and see a man who told me everything. That was her gospel. But that wasn't her gospel, that was her experience. And what did they say? Now we don't need you. Now we've seen for ourselves. Now they tasted of it. So now they've got an experience, but you need to grow in it. You need to understand what the gospel is. You've had an experience, but an experience won't keep you. An experience won't change your life on its own. It might give you a brand new start, but you've still got choices and decisions to make. Yeah? Do you know what? When I got saved, I smoked. I got saved with a cigarette in my hand. There was no cloud, there was a smoke, but it was no cloud. It took me 7 years before I got free of cigarettes. But that was the power of the gospel still working. Right in this place, right in this spot is where I got set free. Amen. Right on this very spot. I'll come stand on this spot. 7 years afterwards, on that very spot, nicotine left me. Never came back again. Amen. Why? Because the gospel, I hadn't discovered its power other than salvation. But then I discovered there was a power still flowing. Yeah. Amen? I exercised faith. People prayed for me. Faith was distributed. And nicotine, I felt nicotine just lift off my body and I couldn't smell it anymore. Never had a cigarette after that. Whoa. Powerful. Amen. So if you want to stop smoking, you need to know the God of power. Either that or just get some damn good, strong free will and exercise that. So your gospel is not your experience, but it is a great launch pad for pre-evangelism. Yeah? The gospel is not your experience. Through experience, though experiences are powerful and helpful, experiences fundamentally are not the gospel. So, okay, the term of the gospel is referred to in three ways. It's the good announcement or the good news. It's a great message of hope. The gospel is good news. Hallelujah. It's good news. Lord, does this world need some good news? It's a message of hope. Secondly, the gospel involves the announcement of the kingdom. Jesus came to confer a kingdom on us. He brought his kingdom and he put it inside us so that his kingdom inside of us could be manifested on the earth, so that we could rule and reign as he rules and reigns in the heavens. So the heaven and the earth become the same pattern. You have to look what's in the heavens if you want to see the pattern. Because the earth is a reflection of the pattern of what's already there. Yeah? This throne, that means this government. This peace. Yeah? This eternal life, this security. All these things God wants in you and in his church on the earth. So he brought this kingdom. And this kingdom, he kept telling them, John the Baptist kept saying, this kingdom's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's imminent. Behold, the Lamb of God, it's here. It went from coming to arriving. UPS. So the message is a message of gospel of hope, good news. The next thing about the gospel is, it's the kingdom. Thirdly, the need for people to repent and be baptized. That's central to the gospel. Go and repent. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. In fact, it was the very thing that Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and reminded Israel of on the day of Pentecost. You lot crucified him. So what should we do? Repent and be baptized. And this cut them to heart. And 3,000 people got saved. Yes. Repent and believe. This is the foundation of entering into the kingdom. Believe. Repent. Get baptized. If you've not been baptized there, please let me encourage you to be baptized. Well, where do I get baptized? Behind these secret doors. There is a river flowing from the throne of God. If you want to be baptized, come and talk to us. We will put our foot on your heads and let you up. No, we won't. Baptism is biblical. What happens? I can't swim. It's okay, we'll hold you. He'll resurrect you. It's okay. We'll talk you through that. We'll put armbands on. We'll put a rubber ring on you. Who cares? Just be baptized. Either that, wait until it rains, stand by a puddle, we'll drive by really fast, and you can have a drive-by baptism. It'll be full immersion either way. And of course, the gospel is the atonement. Amen. Without the atonement, there is no resurrection. The atonement, he shed his blood for you. He died and rose again, overcoming death. Amen? Amen. So for the moment we receive the gospel, the work of salvation takes place inside us, which takes me back to what my comment I made just a minute ago about being saved. From the moment we receive the gospel, the work of salvation starts to take place inside of you. Receiving it is one, but then it's got to be unpacked. Yeah? God comes and we receive it, and I call it the CSP. The Calvary software package. And just like your computer when it first comes, you haven't got a clue what's in that computer. I just need to use email. Really? You needed a computer just for an email? But there's far more there. And the more uses you discover or you create, the more you investigate what's actually on the machine. And now it can be used. And it's the same with the gospel. The moment you start to get in a sense of God's love and how he wants to use your life, the more you discover what's inside of you. Amen. What's been imparted. There are files inside your life that you have never, ever activated. And why? Because in time and season, God will start speaking to you, which will cause you to start asking questions here that you never asked there. And as you start to search, God then begins, you realize with God, there's a difference between a file and a desktop icon. Yeah? And what I mean is, sometimes God can supplant a thought inside Lisa's head. She's not giving it too much thought, but she's consciously aware that she's thought about something. Right? So it's not a file yet, but it's on her desktop. She's consciously aware that something's happening, but she's not. It's not really pulling her at her at the moment, but she's conscious of it. We all had them. And then all of a sudden she keeps walking, and this thought keeps coming back to her. And as the more attention she gives it, now she starts leaning in and wants to know more about it. Now God begins to lead her to the fact that there's an actual file inside of you, that the moment you press it, the app now will lead you to the file. We've all got these apps just waiting. I've had one for the last 12 months. Now it's not an app. Now it's a file. Why? Because now I've investigated it further and realized that was God's way of letting me know it's inside. It's already there, son. Just go dig for it. You'll find it. And some of you, I've been not paying enough attention to the desktop. This is your heart. There's files there on the desktop. And God's trying to say to you, go a little deeper. There's a file inside there that I want to reveal to you. Revelation, understanding, promises, destiny, vision. It's all in the file. Amen. Why? Because you was included in the gospel. CSP, Calvary Software Package. So, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Let me say to you, every man and woman on this earth has got destiny. Whether their destiny is eternal separation or it's eternal life, everyone's got destiny. Yeah? The Bible tells us that from the ground you came to the ground you'll go back. That's destiny. Yeah? Being saved, what does that mean? I am saved. I am saved. Through faith, through confession, through faith, through the grace that was supplied. I received it. I acknowledged it. I wanted it. I cried out for it. I am saved. I am saved through faith. But I'm also being saved. Why? Because Tony, the Tony you see today is not the Tony that stood at that cross. Oh, anybody who knows me knows that that's not, I'm not the man today that I was when I received it. Why? I have to change. I have to start loving people. Oh, dear. I'm joking. I have to stop thinking about myself. Think about other people. Serving other people. Instead of punching them, loving them. Instead of slapping them, praying for them. See, my idea of laying hands on you was slapping you. But you know, God has to do a work inside of us. In all of us. And that's the part you and I don't always like. Change starts on the inside. You know, this world would be great if all the annoying people wasn't in it. It'd be great if everybody else had to change. And not me. But that's not. So why don't you tell yourself you're under construction? You're under construction. Well, how long will it take? How long are you going to live? It's not over in the first 6 months, you know. Man, I wish it was true, but it's not. Every day of your life, Jesus is doing work. So you're under construction. Why? And the Bible calls this, here's the theological word. It's called sanctification. And sanctification is the work of making you holy. So like God is holy, he says, be holy. How can you be holy without the work? So the more we yield ourselves to God, the more we can become like God. Amen. We are not gods. Amen. But we're trying to be like our Father. Amen. What child doesn't want to be like the dad? I mean, in a good, perfect setting, obviously. I know not every father is worthy to be modeled. But our Father is. Amen. And then he says, so I'm saved. I am being saved. So I will be saved. So there's a work that has to be finished. There's a work that started. There's a work that is in mid-process. So there's a work called finished. And that work was finished. For some of you, it might be already finished because you've said this far and no further. For others, until the last day you draw breath, that should be the day when it's finished. For others, Christians, that's it. I've come this far. There's no more in God now. I'll just wait until I die. And millions are doing that. So we are saved. We are being saved. So we will be saved. There's a day called completion. It's a day when the race is over. You can't run the race any further. Yeah, did. And now you're going to be resurrected. Yeah? So the gospel has your gospel. You might want to write this down. Your gospel that you carry inside of you will attract. I'll tell you what's going to attract. Opposition. It's going to attract rivals. It's going to attract competitors. It's going to attract fakes, liars, disruptors, and deceivers. Let me say that again. This gospel inside of you is attractive. And it's going to attract opposition, rivals, enemies, competitors, fakes, liars, disruptors, and deceivers. That's the gospel inside of you. It's attractive. That everything on the earth, it'll pull everything around you to it. Why? Because light and darkness don't have fellowship. Darkness is all around us, even though the light switched on. Darkness is in people's minds and hearts. Yeah? Internally, people live in darkness. Because the God of this age has blinded people's minds. Right? So when your kingdom is taken, your gospel and kingdom that's taken into an environment, it agitates. It agitates and stirs. But it also attracts. And it attracts positive, and it also attracts negative. That's why demons, spirits, just people, don't like your sound. I don't like you. And there's something spiritual rises up in them, and you don't have a clue what's going on. But you're distinctly aware that, hey, you don't like me. She don't like me. Yeah, because there is a kingdom inside of you that is pulsating, sending out signals. And then there's you, being a dipstick. That'll send waves out and signals to people. And don't blame everything on the kingdom. Sometimes you and I are well capable of being dipsticks on our own. Yeah? People's not attracted to dipsticks. People are attracted to the kingdom. Yeah? So let's read a scripture, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Let's look at this gospel for a second. And how easy it is to lose it and to abandon it to these things coming, this opposition, this fake, the rivals, competitors. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere, pure devotion to God. Just pause it there for a second. Then he says this, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit, so watch, different Jesus, different spirit, watch this, from the one you received, or a different gospel, different Jesus releases a different spirit, which releases a different gospel. A different Jesus releases a different spirit, releases a different gospel. And these people were subdued by what was being offered to them. So every Sunday you come in here, you receive your portion, you go home, you go to work, and then something comes along and instantly begins to sway or take it away from you, what you learned yesterday or what you received. It can be a circumstance, it can be a person, it can be an event, whatever it is. They present, in this culture, they presented a different Jesus. And you know what? You can go in many churches as a different Jesus being preached, which releases a different spirit, which then releases a different gospel. Yeah, but it's not happening in this church. How do you know if you don't know? If you don't know what the real gospel is, how do you know when a fake one comes? Because I'll tell you now, you can get people doing a lot of things by keep using that word Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, amen, amen, amen. It's amazing how many amens you can get when you mention the name Jesus. But listen to what's being said about him, rather than just responding to that name. It's important. These guys were being bewitched. These guys were cutting, something was cutting in on their race. And it's here recorded for us to show us that our gospel is up for grabs. As the more the generations fast forward, the more the world is going against the gospel and is looking to supply the world with other things. So another form of Jesus will be preached. Which means another spirit will be released in the house. Which means another gospel is preached and believed upon, which takes the church in a very different way. Oh, it's so easy. So he says, if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Wow. It's amazing how much trouble you'll find in a church. So easy when brother and sister will fight against one another. Or they don't like the worship, or they don't like this, or they don't like that. But very few people know what the gospel is. And do you know what most people judge the gospel by? How it makes them feel. By their emotions. Then let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Reading from verse 6. I'm astonished. What an opening phrase that is. I'm astonished that you've so quickly deserted the one you called you, the one who called you by grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. Wow. Which really is no gospel at all. Prosperity is not a gospel. Amen. Prosperity is a principle out of the gospel, but prosperity on its own is not a gospel. You can't build on a church just on prosperity. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Wow. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, watch this word, let him be eternally condemned. In other words, he uses the word anatha. Be cursed. Because he's saying, this is the gospel that was revealed to us. This is the gospel that's got blood on it, atonement on it. This is the blood, this is the gospel that we became eyewitnesses of. We walked with this man. We know this man. We saw him die. We saw him resurrected. We saw him go back up to his Father. We have seen it. And now we cannot believe how you guys now, having tasted this gospel, now quickly turn your backs on it. It's so easy for each and every one of us to turn our backs on this gospel. And we do it in ways we don't even imagine. We do it every time we're not kind to one another. We do it every time we walk past a need and we don't meet the need. We do it every time when I could respond in kind to somebody, but I don't. This is the gospel, because inside the gospel is principles. We do it every time we bow to our culture. Oh, I know that's a big one. Because we all like culture, because there's some good things in our culture. We all like culture. Friday night, I was at my sister's having a traditional cultural get-together that we've created. Now, it's a good holy tradition, but it's not kingdom. It's just something the Higginsons and the Duffs have done together. It's nice, we enjoy it, but it's part of our culture. But it's not kingdom. And if we recognize, if we think that's kingdom, then we're sadly mistaken. That's just family enjoying family. Nothing wrong with it, providing it's in the right context. Every culture's got good things. And we should celebrate good things, but we should never let our culture supersede biblical principles. Amen. Amen? Amen? Traditions, culture, we've got them all. It's what makes life great. But you know, this Bible has also got a culture. Amen. This Bible's also got tradition. This Bible's also got value. Yeah? You don't know, my iPad's gone dead. Wake up in the name of Jesus. He's convicted. He's come back on now. But even if we are an angel, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said to you now, and I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel. Now watch this. Watch my hand. Watch my hand very carefully. If anyone is preaching to you another gospel. If anyone, meaning me, I as the shepherd must preach you the gospel. And it must not be but just any gospel, it must be the gospel. So if anyone, I'm the anyone, because I'm the one getting to speak to you, so I'm fully aware that he who gets to teach or preach or communicate, God's watching. Because the rudder of the ship is what steers people, right? So if anyone preaches another gospel other than the one that's stated, let him be cursed. This is how serious it is for someone to stand up and preach. It's a very serious thing. Oh, everybody wants to be a preacher, but no, everyone's got a lot of things to say, but nothing to add. Get a gospel. Don't get a thought. Don't get an idea. Get a gospel. A minister from the gospel. Some preachers are preachers of subjects. Others are preachers of the gospel. No, I know every preacher wants to say, oh yes, I preach the gospel. No, you preach aspects. But we want a gospel that is able to build the body of Christ up. Amen. Not that's going to present me to the world. Because I know not everybody in this world, in the body of Christ, likes what I've got to say. Why? Because it attracts opposition and rivals. And when you start standing up for Jesus, you'll find it will attract some nice people and it'll also attract some numpties. Yeah? So, let's bring this thing to an end. Are you ready for the end?
Yeah.
Romans 12, verse 2. You see, what they were doing, as you're turning to Romans 12, what Paul was accusing them of was this. Watch, and this is what you and I do. This is how our gospel gets away from us. Watch this. They cut and paste and add things that they like over there, what they see over there, what they heard over there. They cut and paste them and add them into their life. And think, because it sounded good, watch, it must be God. I don't even notice, but good has two O's in it. And God has one. Good doesn't have a capital G. God does. God is good, but not all good leads to God.
Amen.
And the gospel of goodness is the gospel of God. But people preaching good things does not mean to say it's the gospel. Oy. Well, how will I know, Pastor? Well, maybe start reading your Bible a bit more. There's no substitute for you not reading. Reading your Bible is essential. Why? So when the dude is talking to you, at least you have an inner witness. You can't rely on the guy stood here. He should be witnessing, he should be a witness to what you yourself. True? You can't keep adding, cutting and pasting. And YouTube, oh my Lord. YouTube is the devil's instrument and an instrument of God. It can be used either. Everybody's got something to say, and when they want to say it, they put it on YouTube. So where does the world go? Into the funnel. And they're throwing themselves into the funnel. Or TikTok, or whatever is your thing. Why? Because we let social media now tell us what is and what isn't right. Okay, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The world has a pattern, we know that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is the gateway. Your mind is the gateway, where to? The heart. Above all else, guard your heart and mind, for it is the wellspring of life. So he says, look, there's patterns out there that look attractive. I once went to a church where they were playing Michael Jackson as I walked into the church. Beat it, beat it. I thought, beat it, yeah, let's get out of here. And then I'm in a church one day, and this is no lie, the band is playing Coldplay. Whoa, whoa. And I'm thinking, oh my days. Have I walked into the church or have I walked into, well, we need to get culturally relevant. You get culturally relevant in your time. But let's not do it in God's place. Let's not, oh, you've been, no, I'm not being religious. I'm guarding what's been deposited. There's a place for that and it ain't here. Because if I go into the nightclub and I say, let's all lift only hands up, what are they going to say? You don't do that here. So why can't I say that in the church? Imagine in the nightclub, lift your hands up, lift your hands up. No, I don't mean that kind of lifting your hands up. They stop the DJ and say, let's just take a minute in prayer. They're all going to look at me and stone me. Can you imagine? Michael Jackson. Beat it, beat it. Go and get an egg and beat it. So do not conform any longer to the pattern. And there is a pattern out there. And it's, you know what it's called? I'll give you a name for it. It's called I like. Everything's I today, isn't it? So it's called I like. I like that pattern. I'll have it. I like that. Yeah, so we'll have it here. Oh, I like that over there. So we'll cut and paste it and have it here. Oh, I like that. That's the pattern of the world. I like. What about he likes? What about he likes? Because he ain't coming if you don't like it. So, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody got a mind?
Yes.
Renew it. Then you'll be able to test. Now, the mind is the filter to you being able to test. If your mind is in the wrong place, you're not able to screen test what is good and what's wrong. The mind is key. Don't ever lose your mind. And you'll be able to test and approve. Test and approve. Why can you test and approve? Because you know the gospel. You know there's an element of witness on the inside of you that says, that's not right. That's not right. Now, sometimes you can be wrong. You can say, I don't feel that's right. And God will then come and speak to you and show you. That's okay. It's better to say no first and be cautious, not just for saying no and being rebellious, to say, Lord, I'm not quite sure, and let God show you. Rather than just say yes to everything. I've experienced both. So, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will. Do you want to know the good, the perfect, the pleasing will of God?
Amen.
Do you want to know it? I'm asking you a question, church. Do you want to know it? Then you must get to grips with the gospel. There's no way of knowing. Oh, well, I had a prophecy 12 months ago, 12 years ago. A prophecy is not the gospel. God does not bypass his word.
Amen.
The prophecy must be in line with the word.
Amen.
I'd rather listen to a prophecy than listen to the word. That's why thousands of Christians go to conferences. I just want a prophecy. Just want a prophecy. But they don't love the word. And your measure of your love for God is your measure of your love for his word.
Yes.
You don't can't read his word and don't love his word, then you can't love God. By loving his word, you say, you know, if I show that I love my father, I listen to what they say. If I don't do what my dad says, why are you so rebellious? Because I don't like what you say. It doesn't mean to say what he's saying is wrong. So, first of all, in closing, the gospel. It's your gospel. It's my gospel. It's his gospel. Our gospel. You're not getting this here. It's my gospel. Why is it my gospel? Because it was revealed to me. And when Lisa brings her gospel, and my gospel becomes our gospel. Because now we witness. The same God that revealed himself to her is the same God that revealed himself to me. And the same God that revealed himself to us revealed himself to these. And now it becomes our gospel. So, and watch this. So now our gospel means that we will assemble together. We now corporately assemble together, jointly as heirs. So we join together as our gospel. But it must be your gospel first. Then it becomes our gospel. Yeah? My gospel. And I'll teach these. Next thing is through the gospel. There are things that can't come to you unless they come through the gospel. Through the gospel. God can't send things to you. Jesus came through the gospel. John the Baptist was the gospel. He prepared the way. The prophets announced John's arrival. So when John stands there, John is a prophetic fulfillment of what Isaiah said. And all this through the gospel. So things can be delivered. They all got to come through the gospel. You seeing this? Your gospel. Through the gospel. Then there's in the gospel. In the gospel is content. In the gospel is truth. In the gospel is sense. In the gospel is peace. The content is in the gospel.
Amen.
Then we have with the gospel. Things we do with the gospel. Are you getting this?
Yes.
With the gospel. And then you become a herald of the gospel. Oh, you're going quiet now, aren't you? And then finally, there are keys of the gospel. Keys. Keys. Let's stand to our feet, if we will. And as you stood there, put your hand on your heart and let me read the scripture to you as we bow and pray and dismiss you from the presence of God. And this came from the words of Paul. And this is what he said. Now to him who is able to establish, well, listen to his words. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages ago, but now has been made known and has been revealed through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. And then he says this. This is the doxology. He says, to the only wise God be glory through Christ Jesus. And all the saints of God said, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your gospel. It is the gospel unto salvation. Father, we thank you. And on this Remembrance Day, we remember the one who gave his life so this gospel could be preached. Father, we are custodians of this gospel. We're not just receivers, we are custodians of it. And I pray for everyone in this room that, Father, that they will learn to guard their heart and mind and guard this treasure that sits inside this earthen vessel. Father, the gospel is the gospel of salvation. It is the power of the resurrection. It is the power leading to the eternal life. And it is the power of God himself revealed in man. Father, we thank you for what you have revealed to us. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Ooh.